The gospel reading today, we hear about this woman who comes into this dinner where our Lord is reclining. And we have to understand a couple of things with this. They didn't sit on chairs, they reclined. So in other words, they would be leaning, literally lying down on the floor, leaning on their left elbow, eating with their right hand off the table. So his feet would have been behind him, not underneath him, as we might think if he was sitting down. That said, now we have to set up the rest of the situation. So this woman finds out that the Lord is there, and it's a rather forward thing. She just shows up, walks in the house. Imagine just showing up at your neighbor's house saying, "Hey, I heard you had somebody over for dinner tonight, and I just wanted to come over and, you know, do some things with them." Rather forward, I would say. But then you also have to stop and say, what about the man who invited Jesus? He allowed this woman, whom he himself would say, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what kind of woman this is, that she's a sinner. He watched her walk right into his house and then walk around and stand behind his guest of honor and then carry on with everything that she was doing. And he did absolutely nothing to stop it. Again, put yourself in that situation. If you invited somebody over for dinner, and this person's going to come in, first of all, just walk right in. We already addressed that. Now they're going to come to your guest of honor and start doing these things. He's going to sit back and say, we'll see. Or are you going to try and stop the person? So you can see that in the mind of this man, this was a test. Doesn't sound like he had invited the woman, doesn't sound like he was setting Jesus up. But as long as it was happening, he was going to test it. Is this man who he claims that he is? Or is this just some guy that's showboating and trying to get followers or gain money or whatever he might be trying to do? And so when all these things occur, the Lord goes right through all the different points. Not only did he know who she was and what she was about, but was able to go right through what Simon had not done for him, which would be normal in a Jewish house when somebody would come over for dinner. You would have the water there for their feet. You would have the oil for their head. You would kiss them. All these different things that would go on normally, and this man didn't do any of them. And so here's the Pharisee, the one who's going to follow the law with such precision, he didn't do any of these things. But then Jesus was able to say, but look at what she did. Now let's take a look a little bit deeper. First of all, it talks about how she washed his feet with her tears. That's certainly possible given the situation. She was certainly crying and the tears were falling on our Lord's feet. But that would take an awful lot of tears to be able to do that. But the Jewish women used to save their tears. They had these little tear vases, they were called. They were literally cut. The top was cut around, so it went around their cheekbone and right up against their nose. And they had a red one if they were sad tears, and they had a blue one if they were happy tears. And so they would get the tears into this little tear vase, and they would put a cork in it so that they didn't evaporate. And they would hang on to those tears until the sorrow was gone, at which point they could pour them out. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing here. She probably brought in this little vase of tears, poured them out on our Lord's feet, because what she was doing, obviously, throughout her sinful way, was probably devastating to her. And how often she cried, being used and violated by people. And she saved those tears and poured them out now on our Lord's feet because she found somebody who truly loved her and was able to forgive her sins, so she was able to change her life. It's exactly what we see in the next point. Remember when Elisha the prophet was called by Elijah to be a prophet and to make sure that with all the things that might happen, he didn't turn back. He went and slaughtered all the oxen, burned all of the equipment, so that he had nothing to come back to. His life had changed. He was going to be a prophet of the Lord. There was nothing to come back to. This woman was going to change her life. Remember, in the ancient world, it was a woman's hair that was considered attractive and sexy and so on, and that's what she would use to be able to attract men to what she was doing. So the fact that she would be wiping somebody's feet, keep again in mind, these would have been dirt streets with a lot of filth. People just throw their stuff out in the streets, so when they're walking through the streets with all the dust, there was way more than dust. And she's now wiping them off with her hair. It is a clear sign externally of saying, I am cutting off this way of life. I'm not doing this anymore. The very thing that I used to attract people with, to use for a wrong way, I'm now using that to wipe the dirt off somebody's feet, because I'm changing my life. I'm putting this behind me. I'm moving forward. Then we have all the other things with the aromatic nard and all the different things that she does. But then we hear about our Lord talking about the forgiveness of sin. So we have to look at ourselves. First of all, to ask, when we had a conversion, did we really cut off all of our past? Did we put that behind us and say, no more? I don't want this anymore. Or are we still playing a little bit of footsie with sin? It's like, yeah, I know I shouldn't be doing that, but. Yeah, we like our sins, don't we? This woman cut them off. She said, no more. Do we do that? But then we need to look again. This woman recognized, obviously, she must have heard our Lord speaking and recognized the need for repentance and the call to conversion. She was repentant of her sins. And the Lord spoke about that. Her sins, which are many, have been forgiven because her love is great. So which one is more grateful? The one who is forgiven a little, the one who is forgiven a lot. So look in your own life and ask yourself, how grateful am I? Do I just take forgiveness of sin for granted? Look at the example Jesus used, and again, ask yourself. So we have one who owes 50 denarii, another one who owes 150. He forgave them both. So if you owed God, if somebody owed you thousands of dollars, are you just going to say, oh, don't worry about it, I'll just write it off? That's what God is doing with your sins. He is forgiving them. He's writing it off. He's saying, you don't owe me anything. We'll just take care of this. How grateful we should be. And yet how frequently we just shrug it off, go through the motions. That's just what we do. We just go to confession and we go back out again. But that's not what we see in this woman. And again, it doesn't tell us, but assuming this is Mary Magdalene, she turned her entire life around. She became a penitent. She became a woman of prayer and one of the people closest to our blessed Lord, standing at the foot of his cross, the first one that we hear reported having received or having seen him after the resurrection. And so too for us. When we look at it and see what God has done in forgiving our sins, is our love that great? Remember what I've told you many times. If you think about a conversion, if there's somebody, again, think of how a book works. If there's somebody who's just sort of mediocre over here on the sin side, and you close the book, where do they go? Well, right over here to this side of the book, mediocre on the good side. There's somebody out here who's starting the world on fire with sin, and they have a conversion. Look where they come, all the way to the other side of the book. They're going to start the world on fire with charity. So now, how about you and me? Those of us who have been out there sinning and starting the world on fire, why are we just being mediocre? If we had a conversion, we should be so filled with love and gratitude for our blessed Lord that that should show in our lives. And how often we really are just kind of saying, well, you know, I don't know. No, well, let's take what God has given us. The grace is there. If you have that personality to sin boldly, as Martin Luther liked to tell us we ought to do, that means you have the same grace to love boldly. Don't love in a mediocre way. Because Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth, be hot or cold. We know what it's like on the one side. Let's get to the other side. Let's go all the way to the edge of the page so that we're loving with our whole heart and soul and strength, so that we're truly grateful for what our Lord has done for us. Let's have that boldness to come right in and wash our Lord's feet with our tears. Pour them out because we know who He is. We recognize His mercy and His forgiveness, and that He is the only one who can save us from our own selves and save us from our sins. And how grateful, therefore, we need to be. So who's the one who loves the most? The one who has been forgiven the most. Because that's the one who has the greatest capacity to sin, which means they also have the greatest capacity to love. So go home and look in the mirror and ask yourself, am I just kind of a mediocre sinner? Well, then I guess I'll just be a mediocre lover. I don't think any of us can say that. We look at our sins and we recognize how offensive they are to God. Then let's go the other way and look at the charity that He has put into our hearts so that we will be on fire with the love of God.